I'm hoping that this will translate for the people on the tape. I've made on a piece of paper a boundary, a square. And on the top, I broke it into parts. On the top, I've done a line all the way across. And then below that line, I've spaced out 5 dots that go at the beginning of that line and end at the end of that line. And on the next line, I've done 3 dots that do the same. Then I do 1 dot at the beginning of the page and 1 at the end. Then I've made 1 dot at the beginning of the page and 1 that's off the page. And then at the bottom, I just have 1 dot. And the trick here to really get back into soulfulness is to be willing to back off. Let go and let God back off. Right now, this thing looks like a line to you at the top. To most of us, we've been trained, that looks like a line. But if you get far enough back, it eventually turns into a dot. That real serious reality just becomes a dot. And all of a sudden, these 5 dots here start turning into a line. And if you back off further, these 2 dots, this becomes less and less seen. This more, it actually probably fades away, and the one below becomes a line. And then this one becomes a line, this 1, 2, 3. And then we back off far enough, these 1, 2 become a line. And then in order to see the line that this becomes, the one that's beginning the page and off, you have to really back off to see stuff that's off the page. You have to get out there. So how many of you are out there? Yeah, or you've been told you shouldn't get out there. If you get out there, man, you're going to be in deep shit. The only way to see the linearness of everything, it's like that chaos theory. There really is an order if you can stand back enough to see that that's not random. An ice cube is an example of the chaos theory. If you're inside an ice cube, those molecules are banging around like they're having just the craziest time. But if you stand outside of it and look at it, it's an ice cube. It's one of the most peaceful things in the universe. Unless you're inside of it and you're a molecule, you'd rather be inside of water. It goes like this. And as soon as you become ice, you just are banging around so fast. But how interesting. Ice cube looks so much more peaceful than water, even glassy water. An ice cube floating in all the ice cube. We even sell that to you in Pepsi commercials. That beautiful little floating ice cube. And here's one that just begins on the page and you don't even see the next one. That's one of my favorite. This is the one a lot of you get in trouble with. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We don't have a clue. You're just a dot. You have to go, yeah, but I'm part of a line. They go, no, you're not. He goes, yes, I am. You're just not able to get a big enough overview to know that I belong to a line. You're busy trying to tell me I don't belong to a line, I'm a dot. I'm busy telling you, no. If I get far enough back and I see that I'm in a line, you become invisible. You become a dot. You become the line you think you are, but at a distance you don't exist anymore. And so watch out trying to prove yourself to a future invisible line that you are not a dot. Just see the dot as a line that you are, stay far enough back, and what happens is these lines up here disappear. I don't have to even talk to them anymore. They don't exist in an off-the-page reality. That makes sense? Try to show you guys visuals to see it, because when you go through depression or play with this, this dot is all you are right now. When you go, you're going to be, the difference between the word alone and all one basically is how it's spelled. I've done seminars where I wrote all one and I just put the little space in between it so it's close enough. And I said, what do you all see? And most people go, alone. Yeah, we want to talk about being alone. I said, no, I see all one. And they go, yeah, now we see it. And I didn't spread it so it was obvious. It's like the word therapist. It's really the rapist crammed real close together. It's right there, but you have to look really close.
Isn't that the...
Now, that's it. It's a... there's a reason why we made these words up the way we did. It wasn't just that some guy just goes, okay, here it is, that's a good word. Would you warn me more? Knowledge. Know where the ledge is or you're going to fall off. So you're just a bunch of dots. That's all we are. Be still and know that you're a dot. Now the fun part is you're really a part of a succession, you're part of a line, but we have to really get off the page to see it. And that's where Mary Decker Tabb psychosis comes in. Mary Decker Tabb is an Olympian in the 70s when we first started getting these large screen TVs for sporting events, who was running, I think it's a 4,000 meters, but I'm not positive, an indoor event where she got tripped and fell. And she did what I'm so proud of to this day. She showed everybody in the world what a great self-indulgent temper tantrum an American can have. And she sat there on the inner...
Now I've seen only an ice cube.
That's right. Well, you know, Mary Decker's old now. We have to... Goddamn Nigerians! Now here's the funny part. The reports that come out later talk about how Mary Decker likes running alone. She's an elitist runner. And she's in a sport where you run in a group. I'm sorry, Mary, but it would have helped had you planned running in a group, yes? And then she did it in the next Olympics, too. Fell over again. At least this time, she just was seriously depressed. And it wasn't... And of course, you know, the universe was helping her. Get depressed, Mary. There's more to you than just being a runner. Mary Decker Tabb psychosis, which is my favorite diagnosis for America, is the pervasive terror, disintegrating terror, that if I even stumble for a moment, I'm out of the race. If I miss one little thing, if I don't stay technologically up to speed, spiritually, soulfully up to speed, homeopathically up to speed, child-rearingly, indigo-ly up to speed, if I don't just keep in touch of all this stuff, I'm fucked. And actually, there's another way to look at it. What my brain thought was, you know, if I was Mary Decker Tabb's coach, I have a very different way, knowing, working with her strengths and her weaknesses. So I read the IOC rules, International Olympic Committee, and it's really funny. There's nothing in there that says you have to run counterclockwise. If I was her coach, I'd say, Mary, since you don't like running in groups and you like going against the grain, run that way. Mm-hmm. And I would have her run the opposite direction. Now, the fun part about that, if you've ever seen these races, they all try to fight their way in to get the inside lane, which wastes at least a second or two. She can start right on the inside lane, not have to fight anybody for it, cuts 2 seconds off her time. And this is a race that's won by hundreds and thousands of seconds, so man, she's instantly a winner. If she's in any Olympic class, 2 seconds makes her a winner. Get to the inside lane and run 4 times or 10 times or whatever they do. But the fun part is, because everyone else has your disease, Mary, they all have Mary Decker Tabb psychosis. They don't want to get tripped or stumble. So if you have the inside lane and you come barreling down at that Nigerian, they're going to move out of your way because they don't want you tripping them, because they already seen you fall twice. They know you have nothing to lose. You're a scary babe. Plus, you Americans and your entitlement. This is my lane and you can't have it. You're a Nigerian, for Christ's sakes. What are you even doing here? And run it. Would have been fun to see her do it. I would have loved to have seen the argument about that. How many of people in this room imagine that on many occasions they would consider themselves a rebel? And a rebel is what you become when everybody else thinks they're doing it the right way. It's a default choice. They seem rebellious to you if you have enough of you in this room. And we talk about your mom's church. Who's the rebel, us or them? So it's just really perspective. And my 3 favorite words are under what conditions. And so in part of dealing with this depression, this era of soulfulness, we have to watch out how we define ourselves. That's why I play with diagnoses. I'm sure we could call it some sort of a transient situational disturbance that Mary Decker Tabb had, an acute neurosis, but basically it's Mary Decker Tabb psychosis. It's so much appropriate. Just look at all these people out there that have MDP. MDTP? I like if it's 3 words. MDP, Mary Decker psychosis. If it's 3 letters, then it's really powerful, right? If you make it 2 or 4, it's going to be a BS versus a PhD. Of course, BS doesn't help either, calling it an MA versus a PhD. In the world of defining Mary Decker Tabb psychosis and going against the flow, actually, I think the woman would have run the race. It would have been interesting. How many of you, including your son, if we tell you to do something, as much as you think it's a great idea, your hands start climbing up your legs and they find this little comfortable spot on your hip and they go, I'm not doing it. Or I better check it out first. One of the things where I believe it's more natural to do things backwards than it is to do them forwards. But you've all been taught go down the yellow brick road when you just wanted to fucking go back to Kansas. I want to go backwards. Hell, she wanted to go backwards and finally got to, even if it is black and white. It's really fascinating watching people do affirmations. In the 70s, 60s, you guys ever try that affirmation shit? I'm going to tell you my way of doing affirmations, and if you play with it, you might like it. I believe you're this crystalline, innocent you, and you get told enough times, stay there, tape recorder, you get told enough times, so far so good, that a lie, you're too noisy, you're too noisy, you're too tall, you're too argumentative. And so after a while, you think you're that person because they were just telling you from their perspective you were the rebel. And oddly enough, your body started believing it and you worked on it. At first, though, was it not a lie? Did not your body go, uh-uh? So if you really want affirmations to work and your body's been trained to believe lies, if you try to tell it the truth, it refuses to listen to it. So if you want an affirmation to work, lie to yourself. I'm really happy right now. Yeah. Say the exact right words because your body... You want the right words. You want, I'm really happy right now. But instead of going, everything's beautiful and I'm at peace, go, it's really beautiful outside. I'm at peace. Yeah, that's at peace. I'm at peace. And watch, you'll laugh about it, but it works. Because your body's used to believing if you think it's a lie. Say it like it's a lie, or say it out of congruity, but say the actual sweetsy cutesy words, and it works so much better. Your body goes, yes. I understand how to do it that way. I'm used to having it yelled at me. In fact, for some of you, you might have to do this. I'm really uncomfortable right now. So, or you actually have to smack yourself on the bottom and get a belt out. I think maybe that's what all those guys were doing, that self-flagellation. They were just undoing their family of origin stuff. I'm really at peace. And I'm really at peace. But they weren't taking the time to teach you that's what they were doing. Why are they doing that? Oh, they're doing affirmations. That's what it is. All the stuff you've been told about how to do things, watch and see. I'm just trying to twist it around so as fellow rebels. Everybody in the room is a rebel here. They all seem to agree to that. So there's always different ways to do it. My favorite technique we're using today, which I may or may not have shared with you before. Have we ever talked about ah ha 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 ha? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah, Allah, amen, the breath of God in. Ah, ah. I love when people do that. Ah. And then they go, aha, ha, like in Hatha Yoga, the breath of God out. Aha, I got it. But then they sit here like this, walking around knowing everything. Aha, I got it. Aha, I got it. It's an intellectual masturbation. I always want to say, did you come yet? We gonna need a towel. This gonna be messy. You can like spit words out at me. Are we sitting here just psychically jerking off? And so what makes it so that it goes beyond this little masturbatory cycle is this. Ah, ha, ha, I'll never fucking do it that way again. When you can ah, ha, 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 ha about it, it drops it down into that solar place, that soul energy, that place of knowingness. And once you can laugh at something, even the craziest thing, you have a different insight on it, even if it's painful, even if it still sucks. It's about how to sink down and resonate in it. So how many times you guys, this is not funny. Ever get that one? You're so terrified, you're starting to laugh, but you're trying to understand, you're trying to sink it in there. You do that little puppy cheek thing. It's almost like, isn't it interesting watching kids do that? I go, are you doing the Lamaze method? Are you about to birth a new personality? I'm trying, because I'm in deep shit. So, all this time you thought it was just kids breed that way, right? They were just actually recreating a new personality. They're pushing that baby out. Okay, here's a new me. I hope it doesn't get hit. Do you like it now? Play with affirmations and try this and see if it works. Say the honest words, but switch it so it feels like a lie. Say it in what you know is not in congruity with it, and it works. It's part of being a rebel. Got to do everything backwards. Mary Decker Tab psychosis will come to an end. We are now Mary Decker Tab empowered. We are the clockwise Mary Decker Tab. We are, instead of counterclockwise, we are the wise Mary Decker. So just, I pick these out because if you can get that in your brain, you'll just giggle. Every time you're put in one of those situations, you'll just see Mary Decker running the other way with nobody fucking with her. Just a dot, a staying away from the line. A dot who engages with the line on occasion, 4 times. And the line gets out of her way. That's the fun part. Under what conditions? Everything here is under how you've been taught to define it. That good, bad John thing, we kept changing the conditions. And so it just psychically jerked you around. And so what you could say, but Rob, God, every one of those things, we have been so trained to form an opinion on it. You know, there's actually people that have a different opinion than you had on that. They'll think, oh, good, and you're thinking bad, and they'll think, oh, that sucks, and you're thinking it's good. There are ways to let go of it, but it's going to take full-on work for you to recognize all the stuff you've used to validate this reality you think so important. Because a little 3-month-old doesn't give a shit about you. You try to get its eye contact, and it does this that Stevie Wonder imitation. Don't look at me, don't look at me. And as soon as you look at me, and you can see the look, I've seen the look of horror in their face. Oh shit, I see you. I'm gonna be fucked now, right? You're about to tell me who I am and what I should be, when a moment ago I was free to be anything I want. Realities pass through me like peas and carrots. Any of you had children, didn't you ever sit there? I watched my kids laugh, kick, scream, cry, all in 5 seconds, and I go, what was that? I would like pay all the money in the world to know what that was that went through them, and then they go back into the, okay, give me another shitty feeling mode. I'm ready. Because to them, it's gone. It's just an experience. There was a point for all of you where it just went, just right through your whole system. And then somewhere along the line, we taught you, you're not allowed to poop in your diapers, so you can't let things just flow through you. You're not allowed to have a shitty reality or shit all over everybody, so you need to start holding on to your reality. So what I'm going to say to all of you, when you talk to people, I think the real secret is talk like this. You know, okay, I really enjoyed talking to all of you, and for the sake of the people on the tape, just do the Stevie Wonder thing. Don't make eye contact. Swing your head around, and you'll stay free. Your soul will be free. I want to ask Stevie Wonder, that if he has any self-esteem issues or stuff, because he's never had to have eye contact with anyone. He seems like he has pretty strong esteem to me. I wonder if that might be the key. Maybe that's the key. Next seminar, we'll all poke our eyes out and we'll set ourselves free. I had a bunch of friends in Hawaii. Do any of you recycle? Seriously recycle? Because I've been surrounded by serious recyclers. I live in California. I think California is Latin for we must recycle or die. And so it's when I was in Hawaii, just showing how if you start twisting things around, you can see it in a new way. I announced to a few of my friends or acquaintances, they're really my wife's friends, about the fact that I was going to recycle that day. None of you know me. I just think, oh, here, I have to set this preference, this first part. I really believe I'm a flea on the dog's back. I hope your dogs don't mind I'm using them in this metaphor. I'm a flea on the dog's back. Mother Earth was fine before I got here. She'll be fine after I go. She doesn't fucking need me. I can't save her. The only thing I have to save her from is me. You know, I try to save her from all of you, but there aren't enough bullets. So you have to do it yourself. You're going to have to help. If you want to help her, get the fuck off. And I always say that to my real earthbound hippie recycling friends that were there, because they make these little wooden things and they recycle those Ziploc baggies and they use them to the point you can't even see what's in there anymore. And I say, okay, I'll take them. Or I'll pull one out and I go, oh, that one doesn't look good. And they just, Yeah, you've got to recycle. And I said, no, you have an innate fear that in future generations you've deluded yourself into believing somehow you're the guardian of this planet. You're a bacteria in a fucking petri dish. You are not the guardian of the petri dish. You are not the guardian of that medium you're put in. You're deluding yourselves. You're just here on planet Earth, and she's a fertile source for you to have a great time, but she's a flea on a dog's back. And you can dig as many holes on her planet as you want, and she will fill them in with lava. And we're living in Hawaii at the time where lava is not far from the house. And I said to them, you know, you're standing on lava. Mother Earth's digestive system, if she's sick and tired of you, she'll puke on you. Just ask the people in Pompeii. I got sick of them people. You're gone. Yeah. Everything you're standing on is vomit. Yeah. We actually are bacteria. We're growing on top of vomit. Some of the vomit's old vomit and has trees on it, but it's still Mother Earth is Mother Earth, just stuff. There isn't a single thing on planet Earth she can't digest with 2,800 degree lava. People have tried to stop it every which way they can to save villages and things. And it was so fun in Hawaii. I watched it make Kalapana Black Sand Beach go bye-bye forever. I watched it go over houses, trees, cars, buses, highways, make the newest land on Earth, and then just fall 400 acres of it just because there wasn't anything under it. And everybody goes, look at this new, oh shit, there was new land. I guess it's not there anymore. Hey, she doesn't give a shit. She's not trying to make herself bigger. She's just puking. She's sick and tired of all of you. Why do you think she's been doing this for years and years? And while the volcanoes are going, she's trying to tell you, get off of me. I'm tired of all of you. And I said, so in that preference, and they know I think it's bullshit to recycle, based on saving the future, or watch out for drinking perfect water and all this stuff, because actually you're just going to, those of you who birth children after doing things so perfect, you'll have these children who are not resistant to bacteria and all the changes. They'll probably come out with red eyes and white skin, and they'll just be these little amoebic salamanders that we should probably keep in a veal farm. If you really want to save your children, put every pollutant you can in your body so when they come out, they're like the new generation of cockroaches. They're immune to all of it. If you really care about your kids, toxify yourself. It's a truth. Isn't nature showing that all the time? The mother cockroaches just go right in the middle of it. And so when their babies are born, boom, out they come going, fuck you, raid. Can't get my kids. So with that way of thinking in my brain, I said to these three, because a pickup truck only could have four people crammed in, me and the other three. And I filled the back before I called them with all this great stuff. Chunks of metal, like a part of a cinder block, a part of an engine, a bumper, palm fronds, styrofoam, aluminum, plastic. I just got all this crap, that some of which I knew would drive them nuts, and some they would say, well, that's okay, it's steel a little bit. You know, we don't recycle steel. And in Hawaii, have you ever been there? There's just old broken down shit everywhere just rusting away. So I filled the truck, covered it with a tarp, and said, okay, I'm going to go recycle. And so they thought I was heading to the dump, which is about 10 minutes out of town. And in Hawaii, you take everything to the dump. You don't have trash service, at least where we live. So you have to do your own trash service. So they thought, oh, good, a little 20 minutes with Mr. Obnoxious. And he was always talking like this. And then we passed the dump. And I knew, since I slowed down like I was going to turn in there, and then I sped up. And I could feel them all go, but Rob, that's the dump. So under what conditions? I didn't say I was going to the dump. I said I was going to recycle. I could see them. And they did, as I said, before you guys say anything, we are going to recycle, but we're going to visit Mother Earth's recycling factory. We're not going to use this dump ship. That's actually bad for planet Earth. It's going to get dumped out in the ocean somewhere, because that's what they do in Hawaii. Take it on a barge and dump it. And I said, how can you guys recycle, knowing full well most of this is actually just really getting put on a barge by the Hawaiians? They think you white people think you're recycling. You're just going to drop it out and dump it, which they do a lot. I mean, it's really funny. The Hawaiians are really good at patronizing the white people. This is called recycling. Bob, put it at this end of the barge so you can go first. All the white people are happy. They'll spend more money. They think they're saving planet Earth. And we don't have to fucking deal with this shit. And so I said to them, we're going to the volcano. It's just a short drive. Everything on Hawaii is a short drive. And we're going to go up and find a vent. And there were tons of these vents where you actually could see the opening where the lava tube, where the just this, if any of you have seen it, this beautiful orange stream of blood just running through. I mean, hot, and the heat's like standing in front of a furnace. So you just step off to the side and this wall of heat comes out. And I pointed out to them, I know you guys know this, but this is anywhere from 2,000 to 2,800 degrees. It disintegrates everything. Let me show you. And I took that big chunk of metal and I threw it. Now, it did land in the lava, but on its way in there, it goes, and I said, yeah, that's a great sound. And it plump. And I said, do you guys actually think that isn't melted yet? It's like, gone. Here's some aluminum. We have to wrap it around a chunk of lava because of the wave of air that comes out would blow it. Here, throw it, Bob. And throws it and tentatively does. And I said, see, didn't that feel good? That's great. It's gone. That's recycling. That's recycling. And so they're looking at me and I said, now, I know you guys know I really believe we're fleas on a dog's back and you really aren't in the same congruity with my belief systems. But that's really not the point. I want to really help you all today honor to the highest degree your belief systems. Since you are such fanatics about recycling and unwilling to admit you're just a virus or a bacteria or a flea, I am going to ask the three of you to jump into this vent because your mere existence needs recycling. You just stepped on the newest land on the earth. You don't know what you just killed or prevented from happening in the future. The clothes you're wearing had to be shipped to you on a barge that has bilge. Your mere existence gets dumped out to the sea every other day. You guys need to be recycled, not your waste. You're the waste. And so, because I don't believe in all this shit, and I don't want to recycle myself, I don't believe in recycling, I don't think I'm helping her, but I think you guys do, jump in. And if you don't, you're fucking hypocrites. And I'm going to let you hear about it the entire time I know you. And by the way, if you jump in, I'll report it. I'll tell you you died as recycling heroes. Greenpeace will have banners over you. They will come and visit this site, throwing themselves. I can see this great thousands of people throwing themselves in. But you were the first. It's never going to be like the first. You were the first. You can be the heroes. Come on, jump in. They looked at me like you're crazy. And I say, you're full of shit. If you really give a shit, if all of this is really for Mother Earth, then get the fuck off of it. She was fine long before you got here. Watch out for how we delude ourselves, our importance, what we do to things, what's right and left and up and down. We're just viruses or fleas on a dog's back having a visit with the dog, and she does try to scratch us off when she can reach us. Just ask the people in Nicaragua when that cute little mud wall came down and scratched a few people. Just ask the people living in hurricane zones. Ask the Californians, who she keeps trying to say, wake up, wake up, wake up. Californians keep bragging about waking up, don't they? We're waking up. So Mother Earth says, well, I'll help you. Here, wake up, wake up, wake up. Best way to wake somebody up, shake the shit out of them. So I can't think of a better place to say you're waking up than a place that shakes the holy shit out of you. The setup for being rebels is not that you're causing trouble, not that you're bad people. It takes an acknowledgement that you're perfect and fine just the way that you are, even though you're a bacteria or a virus. You're perfectly fine just the way you are, even though you don't have a clue who you are because you're in the process of going home. You're perfectly fine in that process, and the more you allow yourself that peace, the more you try to just give yourself, and I call it try because there's a lot of resistances, to be still and know that you are undefined, to watch out for those definitions. And I'm talking in Kentucky today. It's a tough place. I look around and everybody has that Judy Jetson hairdo. And they all drive Suburbans with more gold than I thought Midas had. And they're always driving by themselves. You ever notice that? I want to open the door and go, is your whole life like this? A big vehicle totally empty and you're all dressed up and no fucking place to go? You notice that? There's just all these women driving around. Again, I don't know if they have kids or not. I would assume with that vehicle, but they're just hoping to find a life. It's a place where everybody tries to look the same. I was driving around yesterday to this function I went to, and all these people were sitting outside. It was early evening, and they all looked the same. They all had the same body language, same gesture. Do you guys ever get scared about that? Do you notice it, or is it just me making it? Because I live in a weirdo San Francisco. Every block is some freak. You know, to me, it's normal to hear all of a sudden, I went, oh, I'm in that part of town where they all look the same, except it's a really big part of town. It's everywhere. They're going to be very offended if you do it different. They're just a line that's going to be invisible soon. Some of them are actually going to get off the page with you by having witnessed enough of you. Your job is not to educate or train or stop to do it. You don't know better. They don't know better. Nobody knows better because there's nothing to know. So the real homework assignment is go through your depression, doing your dark night of the soul on your own, and have a big smile on your face as you reenter, even though it scares the shit out of you and you think you might burn up. Watch out for Mary Decker Tabb psychosis, the acute fear that one little stumble or mistake and you're out of the race. I developed the Mary Decker Tabb psychosis from an observation based on Einstein stuff. And I was reading a story about Einstein and his theory of relativity. And basically, the theory of relativity on a lot of levels boils down to, for us as humans, time and space relationships. And one of the fun ones is, if you increase the way you transport yourself to the speed of light, that's a point in the universe they theorize that time will stand still. And if you go past the speed of light, it actually goes backwards. His theory, Einstein's walking home from the patent office, daydreaming, because he's a violet, and that's what they do, and he notices this boat on the river, and the boat's going down the river, and it's a working boat. So there's a person, most likely a guy, carrying stuff from the front of the boat to the back. But it's like walking against the grain on an escalator, not going anywhere. It looked like the guy wasn't going anywhere, relative to his position. And if you ask the guy in the boat, he's working his ass off. But to us, you go, hey, get to work. You're not moving. And Einstein's theory of relativity gelled at that moment. It finally occurred to him all these mathematical relationships based on this acceleration. But he based it on looking at this big boat going down this big river, going to this big ocean that keeps up with the spin of this big planet in this big solar system in this big universe. It's just this whole movement thing. You know, the person who caught my interest the most and nobody ever talks about is that guy on the boat, that 4 Deutschmark an hour guy who, when he turns around and goes against the flow, he's the one who made time stand still, not the goddamn boat. It required him. And when he fell down and got up again, he didn't have Mary Decker Tabb psychosis. He can get up as many times as he wants and continues to make time stand still. He has all the chances in the world. When he gets to the end of the boat, he just has to go back to the other end and start over again. He doesn't have to go counterclockwise. In fact, he's probably going clockwise. Which way does the Earth spin? When they always show you the picture, it looks like it's going the way they run races. And I just thought, how fascinating. Does that increase your time by a millionth of a second if you run along with the spin of the Earth? Well, if you ran against it because of the conditions one day and you had to run the opposite direction, do they take into account and subtract your momentum versus how the Earth was spinning so that you could still have an accurate world record by 1/1,000,000th of a second? Do your brains ever think like this? I just watch the stuff we take for granted and go, well, I wonder if that actually adds up. The setup for the guy on the boat is he's the one who made time stand still. We don't ever talk about the little guy. We don't talk about the dot. We talk about the line. We've been so preoccupied with the line. We've been so preoccupied with this big stretch that seems to be pointing that way that we forgot that the dot's important. You've all been told, well, what kind of dot are you? If you're just a dot, you'll starve. Well, there are other dots, but you have to have faith. Because when there's only one dot on your page, and there isn't, you don't even get to see the one that's off the page. The individual aloneness, the all-oneness through the journey of soulfulness is you have to know you are a dot among many, and you're like a lighthouse on a rocky shore. There are other lighthouses, but you don't get to visit with them. It takes real bravery to go into faith, and faith to me is the same as that joke about trust. Trust that everything will fuck up or be great. Trust that there's nothing to trust. If you have a trust issue, quit trusting. And as soon as you trust that there's nothing to trust, that's the total truth of what to trust. Have faith. Have the faith that there's nothing, no place to really land. You all are here today, and you all had plans and things in your life. Is your life at this moment sitting here exactly what you imagined it would be with all those things you've done in the past? I want to meet that person. I've yet to have somebody go, it's absolutely perfect. There's moments where you think it, and then it goes, in 2 seconds, I go, wait, come back here. What made that happen? How did I have that? Oh, was it that apple ate this morning? Maybe it's the arsenic that's on. The setup here is give yourself permission to not judge yourself anymore, and whether you're a good or bad person, right or wrong, up or down, be a soulful person. And it takes a lot of bravery to be a soulful person. When you're really operating from here, other people's opinions don't count. Shoulds and shouldn'ts don't count. And it will, in the process of shifting from spirituality to soulfulness, you're more of a, instead of a behavior based on studies and esoteric and certain criteria and boundaries, as you start jumping in the lava and disintegrating, as you just go into the soulfulness of who you are, and really realizing we're all just ashes to ashes, dust to dust, or, you know, we're just Mother Earth's puke, reformed in another shape, you know. We're all just vomit. I think we're the chunks of vomit, aren't we? Don't we all look like chunks standing here? Can you handle being a chunk of vomit? I can. They do say something's rotten in Denmark. I thought maybe it was us. So we're a bunch of chunk of violet, vomit on the planet. I giggle at myself. Most of us violets are really more pukey than others because we are always throwing up on everybody. We're vomit that vomits. We don't have a clue who we are, and the minute we figure out who we are, we realize it's useless because 2 seconds later we're a different who we are. And so it's really a process of letting go, of defining yourself to feel safe or valuable or powerful, to love yourself the way you are, to watch out for, even when you have children and family, this issue of responsibilities. You're only responsible for yourself. Response able, I am the only able to respond to me. It's tough. And we're really starting to break free, and you're going to see more and more people seem irresponsible. I'm not saying let your kids starve. I'm saying be true to yourself. If you don't feel like getting up, tough shit. And if they die, well, then they picked the wrong mom and dad. Maybe that was the experience they came to have. We're so busy trying to get our kids these perfect $5,000 at Christmas Tickle Me Elmo lives. Did you see that 2 years ago? I laughed so hard and rolled on the ground. They're actually, somebody bought a Tickle Me Elmo for $5,000. I want to meet that person. And I said, you never learned the Stevie Wonder technique, did you? Let me show it to you. This might help you save money. I play with a bunch of these concepts with you because what you're going to go through is a time of undefining. You're going to try to define a way to undefine. I need to make a plan so I don't have plans anymore in my life. A bumper sticker I wanted to make for years is, as soon as I have enough money and a really good plan, I'll do my leaps of faith. And you guys ever catch yourself feeling or thinking that way? And so I wanted to make it for years, but no more than now, because more and more people are doing that. A leap of faith requires you don't have money or a plan or some value associated with it. There are still people with tons of money and plans doing leaps of faith because they didn't think that would do it. So the homework is to be still and know that you are undefined. It is to catch yourself being good, bad John all the time. Watch for what you think is enough information. Even what I said to you today, where I jerked it around and I try to say things in a way that seems more uncomfortable or offensive or irrational or insane, is a choice I made much when I was much younger, that I'd rather be insane than outsane. Outsane involves measuring everything, content, is it tall, good, short, bad. Insane people, I think insane people got to figure, I've never met a tired insane person. They're not wasting a lot of time on bullshit, they're just sitting there being crazy. It's great. Full energy, totally in the flow of being a nothing. The homework, bottom line again, I want to reiterate so I say it another way, is be willing to go against the flow but not think you're a rebel. Watch out for that definition. When I asked if you're rebels, I think that everybody's a rebel at some point based on the fact that everyone else is going that way. I think the guy on that boat was a rebel and didn't even know it. He was busy going against the flow. His rebelliousness stimulated Einstein. I wonder if that guy got part of the Nobel Prize. I think we owe him, don't we? Shouldn't that guy on the boat got at least 100,000 of it? If it wasn't for him going at the exact pace that the boat was going, if he was going slower or faster, we might not have that fun little theory that made a lot of interesting things happen. Oh, and by the way, just to ruin Einstein's life, 4 or 5 months ago, today's what, October 7th, the year 2000, so 4 or 5 months ago, MIT announced that they slowed the speed of light down by running it through a bunch of lasers and prisms and this new gas they developed. They slowed it down to 30-something miles an hour, 35 or 38. It's faded on me, but they said it on CNN in half a second. Oh, and MIT announced today by applying this new gas and laser, they slowed the speed of light down to 38 miles per hour. And in the news, Bob, so-and-so hit these home. Wait a minute, you just told me we could time travel. If we could put somebody in a Volkswagen and get them in a suit that handles near absolute zero, they could in first gear time travel. If we could just bombard them in the lasers and put them in the prison, the trick is the semantics of all that. But hell, we're making big shit here. We made that church. You know, why can't we make a big enough place where we have a big tube with that gas and drive a Volkswagen up to 38 miles per hour and just see if we can get... Of course, the thing is, if there isn't that tube and that thing on the other side, they don't get back. So how far they go, you know? Do we want to go backwards or forwards? Mm-hmm. Yes. But it fascinates me that we have now ruined his theory of relativity, because we now can adjust the speed of light, which was supposed to be the constant of the universe. You know, everybody says everything, this is the way it is. My favorite argument now is when somebody says this is the way it is, and they say, is the speed of light a constant? Scientists say it is, think it's so, but MIT said it isn't. It's a three-letter word. Watch out. The three-letter words are always right. R-O-B. MIT. H-I-M-H-E-R-M-O-N-D-A-D. C-E-O-V-I-P-I-R-S. F-T-A. All those three-letter words that are so goddamn important. It's a setup. That's why I named myself a three-letter word. I figured, Rob sounds so safe, but it's really fucking dangerous. Ray. R-A. So watch out. Give yourself a three-letter word. Name yourself some new three-letter word, and then you'll find ultimate power in the universe. So the setup, bottom line again, is let go. Let go of the definitions. Watch out. Hey, it's fun. This is how my brain works all the time. I am constantly laughing how everybody thinks that's real. Everything's humorous. And I know, when I cut myself, I bleed, and I sit there and laugh, and I go, I actually think that's blood right now. My motor neurons are telling me that hurts. What an illusion. And at the same time, I believe that illusion. There are some people who don't believe it. You ever seen those films with the people that stick the sailing needle and they squeeze and no blood comes out? I just believe that. Do you guys believe if you cut yourself, you'll probably bleed? There are people who know better. I know they know better. I don't feel like I've missed something. Maybe in this lifetime, I don't get the privilege of knowing that, but I know that I'm lying to myself. I know that's bullshit. I know that's all, even though it looks so real and it's so there, there are people who have shown me it's bullshit. You know, what we think is, like the school system your son's going through, the school system really believes it's helping people because they've been told they're helping people, but they've been told that by the companies that fund them that say, we need you to get them to buy the same shit so we can mass produce it and corporations can run the world and make money. We certainly don't want Tom's of Maine to actually be a monopoly. They might actually say, we'll give it away for free or give our money to other people. You know, there's all these things we can twist and turn. And it's useless to even pay attention to it. This era we're going through isn't about letting go of your bodies. It isn't about becoming an ET. It isn't about being one with nature. It's about just picking and choosing what you want to be and love the lie. Do you ever get told in school that two negatives don't make a positive, but two positives can make a negative? Was that? And so I got that in an email the other day, that two negatives can't make a positive. And at the end of it, I went, yeah, right. Or no, two positives can't make a negative. And at the end of the email, I went, yeah, right. I went, oh, that's cool. If you say it just right, it's a negative. I went, how fun. Two positives can make a negative under the conditions that we're not doing it mathematically. So I wish I'd have known that one in school when they said, well, two negatives can't make a positive. Are we speaking mathematically? You know, under what conditions? Used to think I was tall till I worked with the Lakers. Now it's ruined. We were talking about that in the break. They stole my tall virginity. That feeling of tallness is gone forever, even when I'm around people shorter than me. Of course, the feeling of tallness I had because I was around shorter people, so why shouldn't they be able to steal it, that illusion? Did this make sense? Any questions or insights? There's a lot of ways to play with this. This is a fundamental or foundational chat. When I first presented it, having played with depression as a concept, another person pointed out to me, well, Rob, can't you, as you enter, but run into resistance, can't you just circle at that level and start going through, just, I can only handle this much friction, but I can circle it? And yeah, that's why I alluded to that earlier. That wasn't my insight. Somebody else threw it in there. And I said, yeah, I see people doing that. They feel closer to home, closer to home, closer to home, and sometimes they just can't handle the gravity of the situation. They go, man, get those burners and get out. Or they just try to hang in there on the edge. Do not fear disintegration. Disintegration of what? The person you think you are? That person that bleeds or thinks they bleed? The person who's a responsible mom? Don't stop teaching. Don't stop learning. Don't stop healing. Don't stop creating. Don't stop talking to animals. Don't stop loving animals. Don't stop being a nice guy. I just say that. Us guys have to stick together. But do it paying attention that it's totally useless. You're not helping anybody, doing anything. You're just having fun. somebody sent me this, and I didn't bring it in here. What is it? Joyfulness is God playing with itself? Something along that line. You know, people always send me weird stuff. It fits with my brain. And an intellectual masturbation, that seems real appropriate. Don't take yourself seriously. That's where dis-ease comes from. I am not at ease at the bullshit person I am. I need to be this other bullshit person. If you really want to break through this, take a breath and laugh. When Wesley's doing his thing, just laugh. You just go, yeah, he's here to make me really look at this stuff I think is so real. Am I really helping him or say, in fact, he's useless? Yeah. I hope he does what I did with my folks. I hope he fires you. Mom, you don't fit my job description. And why I fired my folks, by the way, is I wanted them as off the hook as much as me, because they were trying their ass to try to parent me. They're just working their ass off. And I say, you're operating in a paradigm that you think this is what parenting is. I don't want you to kill yourselves. I love you, but this is stupid. I don't believe it. Wesley, sometimes, you know, as much as we try to teach him, as much as the school tries to say you have to learn to play with others and do all this, if I was Wesley, I'd say, who said? I just have to learn how to boss others around. They have to learn how to play with me. I mean, if I'm King
that's
Wesley,
exactly
that's his attitude. I mean, that is an Indigo and Green's attitude. And if we tell him he's wrong because everyone else is supposed to have that attitude, he will go into disease and get sick and totally wonder what the fuck he's doing here. He's going to start orbiting, and he's going to go, when can I go home and be the son of a bitch that I am? Because his job is not to be a sweet and nice little kid who says, Doris Day's my favorite person, I'm going to hang a poster of her on the wall, along with Sean Cassidy, right next to it. You know, he wants to use them as a dartboard. He wants to use those to throw hand grenades at. And so here's the school's trying to make him this white bread guy. And so it takes all the bravery in the world to parent him by simply saying, this is the system you've stepped into and seem to have created along with me. It's bullshit. And at the same time, your job is to recognize it is and not fight it and not argue it. You know, that was my job, was to quit fighting and arguing with it. I could spend my entire life just trying to get from this end of the block in Kentucky to that end. There's more than enough idiots to talk to here to keep me busy for a fucking long time. And so, you know what? I want to get past that block, so I just shut up. Be still and know that there's nothing to talk about. I love talking to you guys about nothing. Because in the long run, all this stuff, you'll probably see, I never ever tell you what to do, because what a waste of time that is. The only thing I ever would tell you to do is just shut up and not listen to a thing I said. And if you listen not to a thing I said because you know it's just as useless as anything else, then you're done. This was a big waste of time, but wasn't it a fun waste of time? In the final analysis, how many books have you read that you finally gave away after holding on to them for 5 and 10 years, thinking eventually you'd look at them again? You were so done with them. Somebody else comes up, did you read that book? Oh, yeah, God. I read that book years ago. It was useless, you know, because it got you boom, boom, boom. At some point, it all becomes moot point. All becomes useless. Let go and let God be soulful. Soulful means don't judge it as good or bad or right or wrong. So it is your whole essence. A friend of mine has the website manageanger.com, and she sent me her new booklet on anger because so many people are having rage. She is a busy girl these days. And there's a Chinese proverb called, I used to call them old Chinese proverbs, and I finally realized they're all old. Beware of the rage in the patient man. That includes patient women, too. But if you're not authentically being yourself, it just builds up in there. And rage and anger in her literature is simply not being associated with love. And that the natural human physiological response from disassociation from love is anger. It tries to get you so aggressively back into love. And if you pretend you shouldn't be angry or you shut up, then it leads to bigger anger. And then all of a sudden you're dealing with the anger and you forgot it was about love. Or missing out on that. Then we send you on that great thing. The number of people that ask me, are you going to get married again or this? I was laughing. I was thinking last night because I did this group and there were all these couples there. And I talked about my 3 ex-wives. And it was a fun little chat. And at the end, a couple of them came up and said, you're going to get married again someday, are you? And I laughed. I said, I haven't found the woman yet that really is stupid enough to want to spend 5 seconds with me. And they just laughed like, oh, no, people, like, they didn't get what I was saying. They're, oh, no, somebody will love you. I said, no, there's lots of people who love me. I'm really saying to you, and I didn't know how to say it to them any other way, I really am way past the concept of relationship in the way you guys are defining it. I don't need somebody. I'm totally fine with me. I'm totally fine with somebody. I love all of you and I love me. And I can love all of you even as I drive home and you're not there. You're still there with me. As much as you guys might not see it. And I just laughed all the way home, this hour drive home, laughing at relationship. Laughing, because what I'm seeing more and more people, and I thought it was just me, I'm seeing more and more people, amazing people. Not just people who you think shouldn't be in a relationship. There's a bunch of those who, thank God, they're not in a relationship. They might have babies. Oh, shit. There are a lot of people who are just and that are marketable. Yeah, a catch. I love all those terms. There's catch and a marketable and gorgeous and beautiful and rich and intelligent. And they're not, and they're just not wanting relationships. And it's stressing out everybody that knows them. What do you mean? If you can't have a relationship and you have everything and you're so perfect, we're fucked. And they're going, but I don't want a relationship. Oh, you've given up. You're a fatalist. You're this. And it gets to a point where if it's just you and you're the dot, do you really need another dot next to you to know you're a line? Do you really need to be bouncing off another dot so aggressively to know you're an ice cube? And so we're coming to a point where it's, that doesn't mean divorce. It doesn't mean don't love each other. It's watch out. I love you, honey. Can now be, I'm not scared of you either. Yeah, I like how I feel in relation to you. Don't watch out for American music. I loved you until, I loved you because of. It's all conditional. There's no, but you know, the Beatles got away with doing number nine. Number nine, number nine. By the way, number nine is what they do on a sound test. So it's a sound test. They recorded and sold how many? Number nine. Why can't we go, I love you, I love me, I love you, I love me. That's it. That's Bobby, what's his name, McFerrin? He made it real easy. Don't worry. Be happy. Hail. Thank you, Bobby. That is the answer. How many millions did he sell? I didn't think that took longer than one sitting on the toilet to write that one. That's a one sitting on the toilet music.
You won't perform it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, after a while, you know, you have to sing it so much like it's, you're enthused about it. He's past that book. He's now not worrying. He's happy. He didn't have to talk about it anymore. So the swirl of this is catch yourself every day. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you've lied to yourself, because it's always just a layer of lies. It takes extraordinary bravery just to sit there and do nothing. To really just be still and know that you are God, while your kids sit there and starve. While your business says you're fired. While they take your credit cards away. And so there's a layering you go through. And as you just filter out things, like you might have less credit cards than you used to have before. You might be moving from a place you thought was so cool to a place that all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm getting out of the Venus flytrap of life. When I lived in Hawaii, it was so fun. I always called it purgatory. Boulder, Colorado, Santa Cruz, California, the part of Hawaii I was in. There's these little Venus lights, Sedona and Santa Fe, New Mexico. Everybody wants to go there, and then it goes like this. Isn't it beautiful here? So great. And then it closes in on them, and it digests them for 2 years. And if you can make it through the 2 years, it opens up and says, you either can stay here now or leave. Multiple things you got. Out they go. So watch out. A lot of you are tired of being digested. And it's starting to open again. And if your intuition says do something, do it. It's much more accurate than any thought you've ever had. And of course, the minute you have an intuition, that yes but system that we put into you goes, yes, but you'll go broke. Yes, but you won't be loved. Yes, but you'll be all alone and nobody...